Welcome, everyone. I think we'll get started. It's 1 p.m. Central Time. This is the Accessible Technology Webinar Series. I'm Janet Peters, a project coordinator with the Great Lakes ADA Center. The Accessible Technology Webinar Series is sponsored by both the Great Lakes ADA Center and the Pacific ADA Center, both of which are members of the ADA National Network. The ADA National Network is comprised of 10 regional centers funded by the National Institute on Disability and Rehabilitation Research. A couple of logistics before we begin. Please note this session is being recorded. The archive and recording will be available to you on the Accessible Technology webinar site where you registered. The session has real-time captioning available. The closed captioning symbol is on the icon menu towards the right side at the top of your menu or under Windows CC. You can also open it by pressing Control and F8. The captioning window can be resized and moved around your screen to your liking. Our session today is on accessibility with WordPress, and our speaker is Joseph Dolphin. Joseph has been writing and working in web accessibility since 2004 when he founded the Web Development and Accessibility Consulting Group, Accessible Web Design. His articles have been published in Practical E-Commerce Magazine, Quality World, the Access Sites blog, and many other places around the web that focus on accessibility. Joseph's work in WordPress includes the authorship of several popular plugins, and he's active as an editor on the WordPress Accessibility Task Force site. That site can be found at make.wordpress.org/accessibility. A little bit of logistics on how the session is going to work. I'll turn it over to Joseph right now. He will be taking questions at each section break. These will be short question and answer sessions, and you may type your question in the chat area. If your question doesn't get answered during the short breaks or the short session question periods, we will have time at the end of the presentation today to answer questions. So please note, don't panic. Your question will be answered. And then we at the Great Lakes ADA Center are also available after the session if you need to call or email us with further questions. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Joseph to get started with our session today.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Janet. I'm glad to be here. I'm going to be talking on accessibility with WordPress. I'm going to be talking a very wide-ranging area of subjects having to do both with accessibility and to do with WordPress in specific. There are limitations. There are some benefits that WordPress offers to you. But in many, many respects, accessibility with WordPress, at least on the front end, is much the same as accessibility with any other website in that what you put into it is what you get out of it. Janet, of course, already talked about who I am, so I think I can probably move right through this slide pretty quickly. I am a WordPress plugin developer, and that is both within and without my accessibility focus. I have some plugins that are very popular and have very little to do specifically with accessibility, but they've certainly given me a very strong background in working with WordPress. I have one plugin which has 1.5 million downloads, and that has forced me to know a lot about what's going on with WordPress. You make a mistake once in that, and you discover very quickly that you need to learn these things. So why WordPress? WordPress is a huge system. It is a free open source CMS. It is popular. It is easy to use. It has a lot of active users. 65% of the most popular million sites in the world are built on WordPress. The most popular million sites, you know, that's only a tiny fraction of the total sites in the world. It's only a tiny fraction of total WordPress sites in the world. But if you look at the number of users who are actually visiting sites built on WordPress, you have to look at the fact that a minor accessibility tweak to WordPress can have an impact on many, many, many millions of people. So it's very worthwhile to pursue these issues and try and get as much into them as you possibly can. There are some accessibility limitations in WordPress, but they actually aren't all that difficult to overcome, and hopefully in future versions will get corrected. I've certainly been active on working on trying to get those issues dealt with, and I'll be getting to those specific issues as I go along. So the problems. What are we talking about when we talk about WordPress accessibility problems? We've got themes. The theme is essentially what shapes what your WordPress site looks like, how people interact with it on the when they are arriving at it with their browser. And themes are really all over the map. Some of them are incredibly inaccessible. Some of them might be great. But without knowledge specifically about whether or not a theme that you might download from a popular theme environment such as ThemeForest or from the WordPress theme repository itself, it's very difficult for a non-expert to be able to look at that theme and say, I'm confident in getting this theme that my website will be accessible. Because WordPress does not impose a lot of structure on your site. The theme is doing almost all of that. Then we've got plugins. Plugins are ways of adding additional functionality to your WordPress site. They put in all sorts of functionality, everything from a content slider to a contact form to your e-commerce, methods of having user-generated content, a tremendous variety. There are over 25,000 plugins currently available in the WordPress plugin repository alone. That doesn't account in any way for plugins that might be available elsewhere. And those plugins are all over the map. I'll be talking about some issues with those, but in general, plugins, there's very little review going into them. With themes, there is review demanded of any theme that goes into the WordPress plugin repository, which will cover at least some certain bases, including things like code validation and good fundamental structure, though they do not currently require accessibility in any way. Then there's core problems in WordPress, and those are going to affect everybody who encounters a WordPress site unless they've been corrected. They can be corrected, but they are nonetheless present in almost all WordPress sites, since very, very few sites have actually taken those extra steps to fix these issues. And then there's your actual content. You need to be writing content that is itself fundamentally accessible in order for your site to really be able to exhibit best practices, regardless of the content management system. Within WordPress, you have certain controls for how you can create your content, but they don't in any way, just like with any other system, guarantee that what you're doing is actually accessible. And some of those things cannot be tested for. They simply require you to be looking at your site and observing the fact that I've just said something in my content that requires visual information to be understood. Oh, hey, I just went through this entire slide in my talk. Wow, I guess I should look at the next slide before I just start talking. At any rate, like I said, this is what a theme is. A theme controls the structure and appearance of the site. The public experience almost entirely comes from the theme, and for most sites, most accessibility problems come from the theme. So how are you going to find accessible themes? This is one of the incredible challenges facing WordPress right now. Most themes are not specifically accessible. Most themes may have some degree of accessibility. They may even have fabulous accessibility that you just don't know about because they haven't mentioned it. There are a lot of areas of, especially in HTML5 development, which has become very popular in all web development communities, that have some great benefits on accessibility if somebody's used them, but they may not have ever even thought of them as an accessibility issue. So you may not be able to identify a theme as being accessible. There is not currently any way to identify within the WordPress theme repository whether or not a theme is accessible. when you encounter a theme, they have a very controlled set of tags that dictate whether or not themes are accessible, or whether or not themes exhibit certain characteristics. Those characters may be everything from color scheme, blue, silver, green. They may be the number of columns it has, 2-column, 3-column, 4-column. It may be special features such as being responsive or not, but they do not have anything that indicates accessibility. This is something that I've been working on within the WordPress theme review team to get in place a new tag that would actually require an audit of the theme before it could go live with this tag that would indicate that it's accessibility ready. It's not there yet. It requires a lot of training of people who do theme reviews. WordPress has a very active group of theme reviewers who every theme that's submitted to that repository, it goes through a very rigorous review already. But since those people are not accessibility experts, we're preparing a great deal of documentation and training materials for those reviewers to be able to look and see, is this a theme that could be accessible? We cannot judge whether or not a theme is accessible or will produce an accessible website, because obviously the website's accessibility itself is going to be dependent on other factors, the content, plugins, how they might change the theme or configure it. But one thing we can do is at least make certain that when you look at the core structure of this theme, this is a theme that can be used to make an accessible website. So that down the road is hopefully going to be a way to do some much better things. But right now, finding accessible themes is very, very difficult. Building custom themes, yes, you can absolutely build a custom theme that is going to be amazingly accessible. And that's one of the things that my business does. But it's not cheap because it's custom work every time. The strength of WordPress is in its ease of use and the ability to put up a website incredibly quickly and efficiently. And if you have to spend thousands of dollars on building a custom site, that is something that's a barrier, especially for organizations such as small nonprofits who really don't have the resources to throw into a very expensive website. Customizing themes for accessibility. You take a theme off the shelf, find it in the repository. You may love the way it looks and feels, and you send it to your accessible expert, and they're like, wow, there are so many things wrong with this theme that it's going to cost you X dollars to fix it, and it's the same price it would have been to build it originally. That may not be the case. Some themes are much better than others, but if what you're trying to do is save a lot of money, that requires a detailed review of the theme in order to know what it needs, and that can be a problem. And then finally, the actual themes out there that do tend to get addressed as being more accessible are frequently not really themes per se. And now this is going to require some explanation. A theme imposes a particular look on your site. A lot of the accessible themes are in many ways built more as frameworks. A framework or a bootstrap, you can use the words, they technically mean something different, but in this context, we can be pretty flexible. What that means is that they're not really imposing much in the way of a look. They've put in some structure. They've put in some rules for what things might look like. But in terms of a color scheme, they're basically black and white. They have minimal layout so that what you actually get out of them, you still need to have a developer involved to put a good imprint on it of what represents your organization. So that's great because you can still make a lot of progress, but you still need a developer who can really impose something on this. And of course, most organizations, having a developer to do the work is normal. It's expected. That's not a problem in itself. But when you're looking at a product like WordPress and the degree to which it's popular and everywhere, then you have to consider the fact that there are a lot of people out there, you know, trying to put their get their startup out, trying to get their brand new little tiny organization with a budget that's basically their own personal checkbook. And if they could build an accessible website using more off-the-shelf products, that is something that would be an enormous success. But we're not there yet. I keep talking ahead of myself. Anyway, this is what I'm talking about with framework. It is a way that's easy for a developer to modify, as opposed to taking an off-the-shelf theme and having to strip colors out and then put new colors in, or strip graphics out and put new graphics in. They are not easy for the casual user. I didn't say that, I think. This is what I would call my complete list of themes that I know to report themselves as being accessible, or that I have been told are accessible. I have not reviewed all of these personally. But when you look at the fact that there are thousands of themes in the WordPress theme directory, the fact that we've got a list here that consists of 7 themes, 3 of which are child themes, and I can talk about what a child theme is, that's not great. And I can't actually say for certain that there aren't other accessible themes, and I can't say that these are perfectly accessible, but 7 out of thousands is a very poor turnout. And a large part of that is the ability to find the data. But as far as these goes, Skeleton, that is basically a framework. It does not have much to it. Blaskin has a bit more design, but it's still basically a straight up black and white. Genesis is a framework. 2011 and 2012, though they are full scale themes, they're part of the default group that is distributed with WordPress, though these children are custom creations that enhance the accessibility of those defaults. They're both very close to being frameworks in that they're also very plain and very simple. Also, because of course they are the WordPress defaults, there's really they're very common. You see them everywhere. I see I have a question here that I'm going to go ahead and answer. Do these carry the accessible tag? No, they do not. That tag is not yet present in the WordPress repository. So that's a down the road thing that we're working to develop. We need to be able to get the theme audit in shape before we can actually allow the tag to be used. What about WordPress core? What is it that's actually going on in the core? Most of it is really great. I mean, you know, they do navigation menus and lists, and they have pretty basic structures that are pretty much right, but there are a few problems. If you perform an empty search, it doesn't return an error. Why is that a problem? Well, if you fill out a form, there should normally be 2 possibilities for what happens. Either it successfully does what it's supposed to do and it responds to you, or it fails to do what you want it to do and it returns to you. In this case, what an empty search does, and this is a search where you have not input any information at all, is it just pushes you to the home page. It doesn't tell you that you've had a failed search, nor does it tell you you've had a successful search. And so that's a problem, because it's an unexpected result and you are disoriented. You don't know where you are or what you're doing. The default values for more links are not specific. This is a thing that's very heavily used throughout WordPress. It is sourced as originally as a blogging software, and so pages of multiple posts are very common. And it's very common for those to have read more links or something to that effect, continue reading. And they're very repetitive. You might have a page with 15 posts on it, and every single one of them ends with a continue reading link. And those are fine in context. If you've been reading the excerpt and it finishes off and says continue reading, you know, continue reading what I was just reading. But if you're trying to scan, you're looking through and saying, okay, there's a bunch of links on this page, let's go quickly jump through them, then you're not getting any information. Then there's the title attributes. All of the WordPress navigation menus, almost every context where they produce a link in WordPress, they produce a title attribute on that link that has exactly the same information as the text of the link itself. So if you have a link in your navigation that says about us, it'll have a title attribute that says about us. This redundancy leads to a lot of problems. Now, in most cases, title attributes are not even read by screen readers. They are generally disabled, and that's because this kind of situation is very common, and these title attributes don't, you don't want to hear them because most of them are irrelevant. So when most of them are irrelevant, you clearly find people ignoring them as a routine. And then, of course, title attributes have a secondary problem, which is that from an accessibility point in general, they are not a good way of communicating accessibility information. And that's because while they can be made accessible to screen readers, they are not at all accessible to keyboard navigators or users of other types of assistive technology. They are really something that you can only gain access to with current browsers and current technology using a mouse. So this is really a problem. Then there's contact forms with some unassociated text. And what I mean by that is you've got the, and that really should say comment form, because WordPress Core does not have a contact form. At any rate, what we have, comment forms with unassociated text. So normally in a form, there are fields and there are labels. And if somebody's going through a form with a screen reader, if they're in forms mode, they will encounter field, label, and that will be communicated together. Unassociated text means text which is within the form. It's inside those form tags, so encountered after you've entered forms mode, but is not itself part of any type of form context. It's not part of a label. It's not part of a legend. It's just a paragraph of text stuck in the middle of the form. So I'm going to answer this question because, yes, you can ask questions via email. Just contact me at Joe, J-O-E, at joedalson.com.
Okay, I'm going to jump in. Just let's hold our questions until a designated Q&A time. And if you need to leave, the session will be recorded and archived, and Joseph's information as well as the Great Lakes ADA Center's information is available for you to contact later. So he will give a pause at certain section breaks for Q&A, and we'll be sure that all the questions are answered at that point. Thanks.
I think the first pause is coming up really soon, but at any rate, I'm going to keep going. So comment forms with unassociated text. The result of having this text not associated with anything is that it is not read in any, it's not read by default, and it requires a second pass through the form not in forms mode to actually get that information. But the information is information that can be associated with fields. One of the pieces of information is the fact that your email will not be displayed at any time. Because the comment form by default call asks for name, email, URL, and a comment. And name and email are both required fields. So this is actually a very important piece of information to get, the fact that your email address, while required, will never be published and will not be used in any way on the public side of the site. That's something that you really want to know about. But it's not directly associated with the label, so you don't find that out unless you take that second trip through the form. But this is, again, something that can be fixed. I've actually already submitted a patch to fix that particular issue, though because I put it in a little bit late in the cycle for development on 3.6, it probably won't make it in by 3.6. Regardless, it's something that's fixable. Your theme can fix these issues. So let's review front-end accessibility with WordPress. Without the theme, there's no website. So obviously, you have to have a theme. That theme may have accessibility issues. So that requires some very hard work to make sure that you've either fixed issues or that you've found a theme that does not have accessibility problems. And within the world of WordPress, themes and plugins are the primary sources of issues that you're going to encounter. I'm going to stop and take questions now because I was expecting to have encountered one of my question slides by now. So if you could do the questions right now for 5 minutes, that would be, I think, a good time. Janet?
Okay. Go ahead and type your questions in the chat area for Joseph, and I will try to make sure, Joe, just be sure you repeat the question so the captioner receives it. There was a question. The whole webinar is recorded. That's the audio, visual, and the captioning, just as you're witnessing it now. So this is available later.
Okay. Oh, that's a long question. Is there a way I can pop the chat out into another window so I can see more? There we go. Now I can see the entire question. All right. Well, I'm going to start with Svetlana's question here. I have a question about using title attributes and how to use Read More in a better way. Well, title attributes, essentially, your best bet with title attributes is that you should not use them. There are almost no circumstances in which a title attribute is a benefit, and even in those cases, it is only going to benefit a very small number of people. So that's essentially the answer. As far as how to use Read More in a better way, I will actually talk to that at a later point in the talk. From Amy, I see, I've noticed that when alternative text for an image is not specified, WordPress uses the image title in the alt attribute. But sometimes I intentionally want an empty alt attribute. Let me think about that. I haven't noticed that specifically, the use of the title in the alt attribute. It used to do that. I'm fairly confident that it no longer does that. But I may be thinking of the 3.6 beta. This is one of the challenges of working with the you know, bleeding edge of things. I can lose track of what's current and what's not. Regardless, as far as having an empty alt attribute, you may just have to get into the habit of deleting that part. But I'll look into that. Are there any written resources on WordPress accessibility? Yes. But I can't go into them right now. I think I've got some links at the end of the slides. WordPress does force you to type in the title attribute. That is not because they're forcing you to type in the attribute. It's actually because they're forcing you to have a title on your image. And that's a database issue. And alt needs to be optional because it can be blank. And a blank alt is a very valid and very effectively used tool. And regarding a custom theme with the core problems, I will get to that as well. I've written a plugin which does a lot of that. So we'll get there. Unless there are some more questions, I will. There are more. Empty alt attribute for decorative images, not contextual images. Yes, essentially. Any image that does not serve a content purpose can have an empty alt attribute. It should still have an alt attribute. I think I'm not going to address the organization of headings. That's a fairly complicated question, but the most important thing is, does the site use headings? in many ways, the hierarchy of headings from a theoretical and semantic point is very valuable and important, but from an actual practical navigation tool perspective, the most important part is that every section has a heading so that you can jump from section to section and that those headings have text which is meaningful out of context so that you can actually tell what it's referring to. All right, I'm going to continue on now. It's been 5 minutes and we will have more Q&A as we go along. So now we're kind of moving out of the front end and we're moving into what's going on in the back end of WordPress, because it's not really enough on the grand scale of things just to make WordPress accessible for the visitors to your website. That is going to have the greatest effect on visitors. I mean, obviously, when you're looking at 65% of the top million sites in the world being built on WordPress, fixing that front end is absolutely enormous for its impact on users and on people coming to your website. But fixing the admin so that people using assistive technology can run their own websites is also incredibly crucial. And WordPress is actually in fairly good shape when it comes to the back end, but it's far from perfect. And any issue which is going to just constantly get in the way for somebody is a major issue and something that needs to be dealt with. When WordPress 3.5 was released in, I guess that was December or maybe November, that had a lot of very big changes for the admin side of WordPress. It removed a bunch of legacy tab index references, and that's important because tab index controls the order in which you, using your keyboard tab key, can navigate through links in a page. And tab index was designed as an accessibility feature and was fairly early on discovered to be really, really problematic. Once you have determined that tab index needs to be in some particular location, you have to always be maintaining every single link in the entire site and make sure everything is in sequence. Whereas not having tab index means everything falls naturally within that tab order. So that's gone. It added skip links. I'm getting a number of people saying that they've lost sound. Can I get verification that anybody can hear me? Okay, great. Sounds good. I just wanted to make sure, so I've got plenty of confirmation now. All right. So I'll continue.
Line muted.
Okay, I don't know what that was. At any rate, back to that. Skip links. That was a great thing as well because the back end is very complicated.
Line unmuted.
I see. Sorry, I just got distracted by hearing that things had been muted and unmuted. all right, so those skip links were hugely valuable because the back end of WordPress is complicated. There are a lot of sections to it, a lot of large areas of navigation and large areas of controls. So those skip links made it much easier to jump around the page and be able to skip the tabbing through 80 links on your way down your admin menu. It fixed some tabbing order in a number of contexts, which I won't go into in detail. It made it possible to log out by keyboard. Previously, it had not been possible to log out of your WordPress admin if you were using a keyboard. It is still not possible if you're dependent on voice command, but we're working on that. A lot of form fields got better labels, keyboard navigation got better visible focus, and it made it possible, or at least practical, to find some of the screen options screen option. how do you say screen options options? Anyway, to find the screen options. The screen options are a great tool because that's actually the way you got access to accessibility modes for areas like controlling widgets. Obviously, not being able to find the accessibility mode when you're using assistive technology was a bit of a problem. So that's a lot of improvements. It didn't solve everything, however, and even added some problems because 3.5 added this panel called the Add Media Panel, a new way of uploading images. And that was rife with accessibility problems, as it turned out. 3.6 is moving forward, and it's made a lot of improvements to the Add Media Panel. But even more, it's added a great screen reader and keyboard support for using the custom menus. And the custom menues, from a web development, as a web development tool to make things easy, are really enormous. If you're not very familiar with WordPress, that's the method you use to create a custom navigation menu for your site and be able to assign whatever links you need to be in it to that menu without being dependent on the just default output of navigation tools. Having that be accessible is very great. So, and there's been usability and accessibility attached to the version comparison tools. There's still more to come. There's always more to come, and that's partially because there's always a movement forward in getting new features created or taking old features that are using obsolete technology and saying, well, now we need to update this. But the important thing in my mind is as long as every version of WordPress comes with significant accessibility features, then this is really a great opportunity. So I didn't really talk about plugins earlier. And there's a reason I didn't really talk about plugins, and that's because they're very difficult to talk about. They're all over the map. They cover every imaginable feature that you could think about for a website, the things that I named, plus vast numbers of things that I probably can't even think of because there are 25,000 of them. There's very little quality checking within the plugin repository. The theme repository has some very, very stringent rules about what you can and can't do. And it's about a 4 to 6 hour process to review a theme to determine whether or not it should go into the repository. And a lot of themes fail that. They do reject a lot of themes. And that's because they have very high standards. And that's great. For the plugin repository, they do have some standards. But they fundamentally amount to, is this plugin creating spam? And is this plugin basically stealing information from the user? And though if it's doing either of those, then it's out. But if it's well done, that's not a requirement. It doesn't have to be quality. And then on top of that, even if they did do a lot of quality checking, the idea of doing an accessibility review for plugins is actually very, very difficult. It's one thing to say, let's review themes, and because we know themes have to do certain things. They have to display your posts. They have to display your pages. They need to have a header and a footer. They're very organized. They're very, routine. They tend to be similar to each other at a certain fundamental level, so you can easily set up a set of guidelines for what it takes to be accessible as a theme. But with plugins, with any given plugin, you may not even know immediately what it's supposed to do. You may not be able to easily find the output. It may require hours of setup to even be able to look at it, because they do almost anything. So checking for accessibility in the plugin world is nearly impossible from any kind of a real structured, routine basis. So, where does that leave you for what you can do with a plugin on WordPress. If you need that contact form or calendar or e-commerce application, or you need social media widgets, or you need people to sign up to your newsletter, or something else that you can come up with and I can't. And that's a hard question. There are some pretty good tools out there. There are a number of contact forms which, based on fairly brief reviews, and this is also a problem that a lot of these plugins, they update every month or so, and your review from 6 months ago may be utterly out of date. But there are a lot that make use of very important tools and can produce very accessible content. If you look at, say, Contact Form 7, which is one of the very, very popular contact forms, it does make use of some important issues, such as using ARIA required to indicate that a field is required. On the other hand, it produces a default version of the contact form that doesn't include labels. So it can be used very accessibly, but you need to know what you're doing in order to do that. If you look at calendars, there are dozens and dozens of calendars, and calendars are actually quite difficult to make accessible. One of the calendar plugins that's out there is actually mine, and I've worked very hard to make it accessible, but even so, there are some issues that I'm still wrestling with. And one of the biggest difficulties is if you've placed things into a standard grid format, which is the easiest to use for a sighted user, how do you express to a screen reader what date they're currently looking at without massively cluttering the interface for anybody else? But these are just the kinds of challenges you have to deal with. And if you want to use a plugin, you're going to have to consider the fact that it might require an expert review of that plugin in order to validate using it. There's really no other solution besides getting independent review. If you have a particular developer that you have a great deal of faith in, you certainly can use their plugins as a matter of routine. If you've reviewed 3 out of 5 plugins by somebody and they're all great, you might be able to skip the other one, but you still can't count on everything. So plugins are hard. They're necessary because in order to do most things on your website that are really interactive with your visitors outside of just blogging and having comments, you may need them. But they do require a lot of work. That was an extra slide that was supposed to be deleted, but I forgot to. So we can skip that. So using plugins. If you do a search in the WordPress.org plugin repository for the word accessible, almost none of what comes up will be using the word accessible. In fact, they'll be using the word access. And access, though very similar to the word accessible, has in practical English terms, very little relationship. And this is really a problem in the way their search engine works. It's very sensible in a lot of contexts that it's looking for words that are similar to what you searched. But as a result, there are a fair number of plugins that just won't come up if you do a search for accessible, or at least won't come up very quickly. And a lot of the plugins that come up, you should not make the assumption that they are accessible. They may just have something to do with the word access. And this is unfortunate, but it is something to be aware of. So you're stuck. You have to vet plugins independently. It's rough. So what can you do now? Since this is something I've gotten a lot of questions about already, I've noticed them passing along about various issues, I wrote a plugin called WP Accessibility. And a plugin isn't really the right place to correct a lot of these theme issues for accessibility. And that's because there's no way for the plugin to actually be aware of what's going on in the theme that might need to be corrected. But there are a lot of things that I can just look for and automatically correct if they are a problem. And so that's the point of this plugin. It, first of all, fixes those core issues I was talking about, because those can all be fixed by filters and basic code. And then second, it takes a bunch of areas where it can look at your site and try and fix it. It strips out all of those redundant title attributes, first of all. It can enable skip links on the front end of your website. And it also fixes a bug in Chrome and Safari that causes skip links to not move keyboard focus. It allows you to define the targets of your skip links, because this is one of the things that the plugin can't detect. A target is defined by an ID attribute within a container on in your HTML. And in order to know where that skip link needs to skip to, you have to define where it's jumping. But I have no way of knowing that, because that's something that's going to be placed upon your site by your theme. It can add language and text direction attributes. This is actually something that's rarely missing, because it's very easy to grab that information from WordPress. So most themes do that. But if your theme doesn't, this is something that you can add using my plugin. It can strip out the target attribute from links. So if you're using that to open a link in a new page, it'll say, oh no, you're not doing that. And the reason it does that, because even though there are occasional reasons for opening a link in a new page, a lot of people just do it by default. They're like, oh, I want this in a new page, so I'm just going to do that. And the default way that's done is by putting in a target attribute. So what I've decided is that I'm just going to strip that out. It's still going to be possible to open a link in a new page if you really need to and the site really needs to. It's just that the site's going to have to put a little bit more thought into how to do it. They'll have to do it using, for example, a JavaScript that will cause a link to open in a new page. And that's because opening a link in a new page is something that really should be thought about very carefully. It'll force that search page error if you have an empty search. It strips out tab index from any element that is focusable. Now that's a key thing, because tab index of 0 or negative 1 actually has a use in making things that are not normally focusable by the keyboard. So I don't want to just strip out all tab index. I need to just take them away from anything which is already keyboard focusable, such as a form link, such as a link or a form control. It'll strip out the title attributes from your images within content. It can't provide an alt attribute because there's no way for it to detect what that image is, but it can strip away the redundant title attributes. It'll insert the post titles into your read more links. And this was something that was talked about earlier as well. Basically, it says, instead of just saying read more, it will say continue reading, title of your post. Now, it's set up so that you can hide that text, because it is entirely legitimate to say that I need the text to be there, but I don't necessarily need everybody to see it, since a sighted reader, through the visual context of the image, can very easily just say, well, I can clearly see this continue reading is related to that item, no problem. Whereas that browsing screen reader user needs a little bit more context. It adds an outline to the focus state for focusable elements. That's what happens when you are tabbing with your keyboard. The keyboard delivers focus to an element. And this will place an outline around that state when it is actually active. And this is something that actually all browsers do by default. However, not all designers like that. And I have seen many, 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 many times focus states that have been defined with no outline by the designer. And that simply means that it is impossible to tell where you are using the keyboard. So this puts that back. And then on the admin side, it actually improves the accessibility of the admin style sheet. There aren't a lot of issues in there, but there are some that are fairly definite, and it'll help that out a little bit. All right, I'm going to pause briefly after this slide for questions, so if you want to think about that for a bit. Right now, the plugin can't do a number of things. It can't fix color contrast issues. If you've got that chronic problem of light gray text on a white background or dark gray text on a black background, it doesn't know about that and it can't fix it. It can't correct your forms to add labels or correct them to give meaningful errors if the form normally doesn't, because it doesn't know anything about what your forms are. It can only really do things with core WordPress issues as far as that goes. It can't fix heading structures. It doesn't know how your theme is constructed. You may have a theme that has a great heading structure. You may have one that's using a span with a huge font size to create a title. I have no way of knowing that. It can't provide appropriate alt attributes to your images. And then, of course, all of the many, many unknown issues that, say, your plugins might be causing that it can't even consider. All right, so I'm going to pause for questions now, and also for a drink of water. Will your WP Accessibility plugin work for BuddyPress as well? Well, BuddyPress is a plugin for WordPress, so yes. I haven't specifically tested it with BuddyPress to see exactly how much it does. You know, it filters title attributes on core WordPress lists of pages. I can't say that it does the same thing for BuddyPress, but it will certainly work. I have half a question from somebody. I haven't specifically mentioned the Cities project. I think it's in one of my final slides. But it is an important thing. Joseph O'Connor in California is putting together a project called the Cities Project to build accessible themes around the world, representative of various cities, that can be committed to the WordPress repository. And I see that Joseph is here. So, hi, Joe. It's a great project. It's going to be a long time in development because themes are complicated to build, and getting them through the approval process in the repository is also long, but it is very valuable. Well, I have time to talk about adaptive responsive web design for mobile devices. No, I won't. That's not really very specific to WordPress. It's certainly a very important area and has some great ramifications for accessibility because a lot of the techniques best done, the best techniques for responsive web design have some good ramifications for accessibility as well. But I will not be talking about it for this, and I can't say as to whether there will be more in a future webinar. And about reading more links, would it be enough to add info in the title attribute? No. No, it would not. And the reason for that is that title attributes are not exposed to most assistive technology, including screen readers, unless they've enabled that. And because of the profusion of title attributes in many sites, most people will elect not to have that enabled. Any further questions? Or a smiley face. All right. Well, now that I've had a drink of water and answered some questions, I will continue forward. So accessible content. Oh, I do have a new question. Yay. H1 to H6 properly in sites. Oh, yes, this question. So if somebody's wondering about using H1 to H6 properly in sites and if they should be organized properly because there are some pages that may skip headers because of certain widgets or text part. I don't know that I fully understand that. Some pages may skip headers because a widget perhaps isn't present or because they haven't included the sidebar. I think I did answer this briefly earlier, but it does essentially come down to the fact that the hierarchy of headings is an ideal, and if it's possible to have a consistent heading hierarchy, then that's great. But what's really important is having those headings. And you know, you don't want to invert your hierarchy so that you always have H6 on the top and then it goes down to H1. But as long as they're essentially right and present, it will be an effective navigation tool. And having it always be correct is actually incredibly difficult because, you know, different plugins have to make a choice sometimes about using a heading. My calendar plugin, for example, I chose to use a heading, the H3 heading, for event titles. And I had to choose one. I mean, I couldn't just leave it to not be a heading because I really wanted it to be something that was navigable for accessibility purposes. But I have really no way of knowing what the heading level for the page it's in actually might be. If it's an H2, then my hierarchy is fine. If it's an H3, then my hierarchy is wrong. But I don't know that. All I know is it should be a heading, and that will provide an ability to navigate it. So the first priority is using headings, making those available. And after you've made them available, then if you have the time and resources, inspecting them to make sure each one is the best heading for that context is valuable. And I don't want to say that the hierarchy isn't valuable, but it is not necessarily the top priority. You know, if you're looking at spending your time trying to fix a heading hierarchy versus implementing ARIA landmarks on your site, then I would do the landmarks. All right, so I think that's it for the questions this go-round. And I'll talk about creating accessible content. Obviously, this no longer has anything very specific to do with WordPress, but it's still absolutely critical to creating an accessible website, regardless of what you're in. Your accessible content needs to be thinking about the four principles that the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines are based on: perceivability, operability, understandability, and robustness. These are all very fundamental and very key. Can it be seen, or rather perceived, seen in any meaning? Operable, can it be operated? Can people understand it? And given constantly shifting technology, how likely is it to continue to be usable in the future? And that has a lot to do with standards compliance. I have an example of a page that has some interesting problems. The next slide shows the example. It's just an image because that's what I have here. But if you are, you know, using a screen reader, you might want to access this link so that you can see what's going on, or rather, so you can completely fail to understand what's going on, because this is not a page that is particularly accessible. But it's an interesting one because a lot of the mistakes on this page have nothing to do with fundamental design. They don't have to do with knowing code. They actually have to do with how the text is actually written. So now I want to think a little bit about what is this example actually doing wrong, and what is it doing which is actually fine and perfectly effective. So what we've got is on the page, we've got roughly three, I'll call them paragraphs, though they're not necessarily traditional paragraphs, of information. We've got two images. One of them happens to be shown in the upper right corner. One of them happens to be in the lower left corner. There are a number of interesting things that are mentioned in this page that cause problems. One paragraph, for example, the paragraph reads, The image above shows heating and cooling trends over and around Antarctica from 1982 to 2003, where red indicates areas of warming, blue indicates areas of cooling. This content exhibits some classic examples of problems. It has directional information. It says the image above. And referencing anything by its location on the page is fundamentally problematic because the image might not actually be there. If you ever edit the content, you might change that. If it's being viewed on a mobile device, maybe that image is not actually above anymore. Maybe it's off to the right. Above is actually, you know, as these terms go, it's relatively safe because above and below are more likely to be linearized normally. Left and right are, ooh, those are scary. Who knows where that's going to be? Regardless, any kind of locational instruction is fundamentally a problem. But then they also go on and say that red indicates areas of warming and blue indicates areas of cooling. Well, that's using color as the sole indicator of information in this image. First of all, of course, if you can't see the image, you know, that it's completely meaningless to you. You've been told absolutely nothing about this image. But even if you can see it, if you're having a problem distinguishing the colors, maybe you're on a grayscale device, then you're going to have very limited benefit from this. Now, describing the data that's actually contained in this image precisely would be very complicated. I can't say for certain, but it looks rather like it's many, many thousands of data points with varying colors. But describing it in a manner that would fairly effectively describe what's going on in the image would not be that challenging. A simple description might be, this image shows the continent of Antarctica. The landmass of Antarctica demonstrates cooling trends, while the surrounding ocean shows heating trends. And at that point, you know, you may not know exactly what's going on, but you have a fairly good idea of what is actually represented by this image. None of these images have alt attributes. So really, if you're looking at this with a screen reader, you don't get much out of it, other than the fact that between 1982 and 2003, there was some warming and some cooling around Antarctica. And this is just an example of writing smart, or rather, this is an example of not writing intelligently, but it's an example of how to approach what you're thinking about. If you're depending on color references for somebody to get the information, then you might need to think about rephrasing the information. If you're depending on locational directions for your content, then you might need to rethink how you're writing your content. One thing this does do fairly well, actually, is their links. The links are all different. They include reasonably detailed information about what they will link to. They are blue and underlined, which meets with general usability expectations as far as what is likely to be a link. They have an acronym on there, NFIDC, but they do expand it and clarify what it stands for, albeit only in their second use rather than the first, but I'm willing to give them an out on that. So it's not that they've done everything wrong, and I don't want to in any way say that this website is an absolute horror. It's in fact, it was done by a bunch of students who were in no way web experts and should not be held to standards that require them to be web experts. But writing good content shouldn't require somebody to be a web expert. Ideally, awareness of the issues and awareness of the fact that what you say and how you say it will affect how accessible your content is something that should be greatly considered by everybody. So write your content well, be clear. That's just, you know, kind of a basic rule of thumb. You have to imagine accessibility. You have to really wrap your head around what it means to be accessing content using assistive technology. When you look at your content, you have to say, well, what might I be missing if I can't actually see this page? Have I included any information here which is purely visual? If I have, say if you have an image with no alt attribute, will that matter? You know, not every image needs to have that alt attribute expanded on. You know, and that's a judgment call. Judgment is a very important part of creating accessibility. Not every image needs an alt attribute, but that doesn't mean that somebody using a screen reader doesn't actually want to hear what is on this page decorationally. If it's one of 14 separating graphics, which is a curly Q, saying alt equals curly Q, that's not ever going to be useful. But if it's an ornamental image, it's a great picture of a forest, it has nothing to do with your article, but it's a great picture, well, you have to consider maybe you want to express that for the same reason you put it on for sighted readers. It's just because it's nice. There's nothing wrong with saying, alt, beautiful forest. Okay, that's fine. The important thing is not just automatically placing a ton of useless information on the page, nor considering that everything is important. Some things are important, some things aren't. Using your judgment is crucial. And what is missing if you can't hear audio? This is huge. I mean, with the explosion of video and audio resources online, podcasts left and right, everybody's using YouTube. If you can't hear the audio, you're missing out on a lot. And audio is relatively simple to express. This session right now is being closed captioned. And that, of course, is, on the whole, the most expensive way to do things because, of course, it's live. It needs to be there right now, right away. But anybody can create a transcript of something that they've pre-recorded. It takes time. It takes commitment. But it means that that podcast you recorded is available to a much, much wider audience. On the side, it also gives you, you know, some SEO advantages because as powerful as Google is, they are not at this point actually indexing your audio files, at least not the actual audio of them. They are not going through that audio file and parsing it for natural language. But if you have a transcript, they know everything you've said, and they can send people to that website if those people are looking for the information you were putting out there. What can't be operated if you can't use a mouse? That's pretty crucial. There have been times when people would use a JavaScript control to trigger a button. And it's not a real button. You are talking buttons that are constituted of divs and spans and aren't real. And they're set up in such a manner that the only way they activate is if you click a mouse on them. And that means that those keyboard-dependent users can't actually use it. And then finally, what you might lose if you're using a tablet or a mobile device. And these days, with modern devices, honestly, the biggest thing you might lose is usability if you haven't really considered things like the size of clickable areas, because a lot of modern mobile devices render pages very, very well. But that doesn't mean they render everything, and that certainly doesn't mean that you can't have caused some problems with the way you've put things together. But a lot of it is inherently just about imagining your site and looking at your site with eyes other than your own so that you can really empathically absorb the experience of that site for other people. The fact is that web readers skim. And everybody wants to skim on the web because we're all apparently in a huge hurry and need to get just the information we want as fast as we can. And assistive technology provides great methods for skimming. Now, screen readers in particular, the ability to generate lists of links or lists of headings is extremely powerful. So if you're writing that very long article, that, you know, one that might be 20 pages down the screen, insert headings all over the place because it means that people can skim. It's also going to make it easier for your sighted readers to skim because it breaks things up, but everybody wants to skim. So I'm nearing the end, and I'll have, you know, 15 minutes or so for questions. So if you have questions, start thinking about them and putting them up. But for now, I'm going to summarize. Is that it? For WordPress themes, is it really just those 6 or 7 themes that are available? Yeah, really, it is for now. There are undoubtedly other accessible WordPress themes. I would be willing to bet on it that there's at least 1 or 2 other themes out there that happen to be accessible, not because the developer intended it, but because they used very good development techniques and happened to make one that's accessible. There's just no way to know about it. And it's going to require critical judgment to determine that. The accessibility tag, it's on its way. It's not there yet. It's a long process. And a lot of it is just because it's going to require training a lot of additional people on what matters in accessibility, which is great. It's great that what you'll end up with is a bunch of experienced theme developers who have a lot of knowledge about accessibility, but it's time consuming. The WP Accessibility plugin can fix some of the problems so that you can take a theme that is generally good and impose some improvements upon it, but it's not going to fix everything. It is good for any site, simply because it fixes things that are in WordPress core. So any site, you can always install WP Accessibility and get benefit from it. But it's not ever going to fix every problem unless you have a very, very neatly, conveniently defined set of problems. The Cities Project is working on building accessible WordPress themes. And boy, I sure hope that that accessibility ready tag is ready to go by the time those themes are done, because that would really do a lot to solve that first problem of finding WordPress themes. On the public side, WordPress does not make a lot of mistakes. Those mistakes can be corrected, but ultimately WordPress only controls a tiny percentage of the presentation of your website. So fixing themes is what's more key, and mostly available themes are lacking a focus on accessibility. Extending WordPress via plugins is very, very hazardous. You have to vet everything carefully. I'd like to be able to say much better news on that front, but in all honesty, what I have to say is that you have to be careful, and you have to make sure that you're getting things looked at. The admin isn't perfect, but it's improving and rapidly. Here are a few accessibility resources that are very useful. The WCAG recommended techniques, they are technical, but they are a lot simpler than the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines themselves, so that's well worthwhile. WebAIM is a great resource out of Utah, and I believe Jared Smith has actually talked on this webinar himself, so he's been personally responsible for a large quantity of the documentation on this website, but it's one of the best places for getting simplified summaries and recommendations regarding web accessibility issues. The University of Minnesota Duluth has a web design reference, which is an extensive curated catalog of great accessibility articles. It's a good place to go to find a lot of information. Now, because it's essentially a catalog, it has a lot of things that may be out of date. It's been developing for a long time. I don't actually know when it started, but I know that there are articles there which were written 7, 8, 9 years ago, and while the principles are generally the same, specific technical recommendations may not be. So I'm here for questions, if anybody has any. To get involved or support the development of accessible themes, I just started following, is there a petition somewhere? There isn't a petition. Really what is needed is direct involvement with the Make WordPress Accessible group, because a large part of what's at issue here is manpower or womanpower, any kind of power. There are really only about a half a dozen people who are very heavily involved in the Make WordPress Accessible group, and it's just not enough time, given that we all also work, full time at other things, to make progress rapid. And Mel Pedley, who leads the Make WordPress Accessible group, does an incredible amount of work, but it doesn't change the fact that she is just one person, and the rest of us do everything we can. There isn't really a lot of information about the accessibility tag yet. The audit information, if you do research on WordPress theme audit guidelines, that's where you'll find the guidelines for theme developers. They're all in draft. There's an earlier draft that's currently on the Make WordPress Accessible website. There is also a more recent draft that is written into the theme review guidelines themselves, which is the version that will actually be used most. Would it help to identify both accessible and inaccessible aspects of particular themes and share with your team? Absolutely. Ideally, everything helps. When it comes to that, I'm not sure what you mean by your team. Do you mean within your own organization, or do you mean with the Make WordPress Accessible team? I hope you heard me. Okay. I think we have a lot of knowledge of those general areas, but certainly of particular themes. What would be most valuable, honestly, is knowing about particular themes that were accessible, because in all honesty, not being accessible is what we are in general assuming as the norm. And it's very difficult to find anything that meets specific other requirements. And that's, like I said, it's a time thing. There's only so much time available to us to be able to say, okay, we're going to sit down and review a whole bunch of themes that are already approved in the index. What we really need to be looking at is at new things that come in and communicating with developers to try and get them to proactively look at the theme audit guidelines so they can improve their themes and make updates that will make them better. So that's the ultimate goal, is just to get every theme really paying attention to these guidelines, aware of them, and using them. Because ultimately, developers are the people who really, really need to know a lot about what makes things accessible. Theme developers and plugin developers, because they're actually ultimately producing the most common elements of a lot of websites. So if that can be accessible, that can make a big difference. What tools do I use? Primarily the Web Developer Toolbar and the Wave tool. I really like Wave. It's easy to use. It communicates well. And I like the fact that it makes no pretense of being absolutist. It's not going to say things are just flat out failures. It'll say, we think this might be wrong, but you better check it. And I think that's very intelligent, because that is a very important reality about web accessibility, is most of it cannot be tested automatically. And so a tool that keeps that in mind and really addresses it as something that may or may not be wrong is just intelligent. Are there any particular accessibility issues specific to integrating a WordPress blog into a website? So that's a WordPress blog as a separate part of an existing website. I don't know that there's anything unique to that situation. If your existing website is accessible, then what you might want to think about doing is converting your current accessible design into a WordPress theme, which is actually not all that difficult. It's really quite easy to do if you're comfortable with WordPress theming. Now, if you have an existing not accessible website, that's rather a different case. All right. Can I talk about WordPress versus Drupal? I can. The question of WordPress versus Drupal is really, it's kind of complicated. Drupal has long had a reputation for being, you know, the most accessible content management system. And that actually is mostly because the culture around Drupal has long had a lot of conversations about accessibility. They have sessions at their convention that are about accessibility, which WordPress historically hasn't generally had. In terms of the actual accessibility of the content management systems, I would not say that there's a very significant difference. They both have some issues. So, you know, that's a hard one to say. It all has to do with very specific issues and to do with plugins and add-ons and themes, because there are perfectly well very accessible themes for Drupal, and there are incredibly awful themes for Drupal. There are there's accessibility for WordPress themes, and there's horrific things for WordPress themes. And that's because for both of the systems, there isn't really an element, there isn't much to either system which is inherently a front-end issue coming from the content management system itself. I don't think open source has really got much of anything to do with the security of a WordPress site. I'm being asked, what is my opinion of the security of a WordPress site? Security has a lot to do with, honestly, popularity. And if WordPress has a weakness in security, it actually is more because it's so popular, which means it's a big target. You know, it's very similar to the Windows versus Apple question. It actually has to do more with the desirability of hacking it. But most of the actual security problems in WordPress are going to come, just like everything else, from themes and plugins. Because those are not very vetted. You know, the themes, if you download a theme from the WordPress plugin repository and it's been updated within the last 6 months or so, there's very, very little likelihood it has any security problems of note. I can't guarantee that, of course, but it's relatively unlikely. If you download a WordPress theme from anywhere else, all bets are off. But yeah, the security, you know, WordPress got some issues with security a few years ago. There was a version that had some problems, but they did fix them. They fixed them fairly quickly, and within the security community itself, it's not considered to be a major concern. Can you make accessible quizzes in WordPress? Yes, absolutely. How? Well, I couldn't tell you that exactly. I mean, that's really not a question that has much to do with WordPress as much as it's, can you make an accessible quiz? There may be a plugin already that does it, but I don't have a encyclopedic knowledge of the plugins that are available. Is it possible? Yes. All right. Well, my impression is that the questions are fading out. Oh, there we go. Notice different plugins. Ooh, members only sections. Those are really complicated. I am not prepared to go into that, I'm afraid.
Okay, I'm going to jump in. This is Janet. Are there any last webinars? I'll give you a chance to chat, any last questions? we will have more webinars. Any last questions for Joe? I think you are correct, Joe, that we have asked the last questions. I want to thank you, Joseph, for your time. What a great session. Thanks, everyone, for your attention and participation. I love the questions and the interest in the topic. As was mentioned, the session has been recorded, including the closed captioning and the chat areas, so you will see answers, the questions in the chat, as well as the closed captioning option available. The archive session of all our webinars are available on the website, and I've just typed that in the chat area. It's www.ada-audio.org. So you may find the archived version there. I hope that you will join us for our next session. That is going to be on July 25th, and it's going to be an update on accessible information and communication technology policy. So we're hoping to have another great turnout and participation with that. Evaluations will be emailed to you, and I ask you to fill those out. We take your feedback quite seriously and love ideas and topic suggestions or any other comments or feedback you'd like to give us. I want to just say thank you once again to Joseph Dolson and for a great session. I want to thank you all, and this concludes the webinar.
Thank you very much.